From India's largest newsroom, I'm Arun George, and this is the Times of India podcast.
Kishu, तुम घर छोड़कर क्यों जा रही हो? क्या हुआ? तुम खुश नहीं हो यहाँ?
Unless you're completely off social media and instant messaging apps, there's little chance you missed the advertisement you just heard. The ad which stars Bollywood star Ranveer Singh and pornographic film actor who goes by the screen name Johnny Sins has been making waves on the internet and social media. It has also reportedly boosted the number of clicks on the site of the advertiser significantly, perhaps taking it a step closer to its stated aim of reimagining men's health in India. Some, including many Bollywood stars, have praised the ad, saying that it promotes sexual health, a subject that isn't typically advertised a lot in India due to moral and regulatory reasons. Dr. Rajan Bhosle isn't buying any of this though. Dr. Bhosle is the head of the Department of Sexual Medicine at the prestigious KEM Hospital in Mumbai and the author of multiple books on sex education. In today's episode, he's in conversation with my colleague Jairaj Singh and me about the new ad, why such herbal supplements should be taken with a pinch of salt, and why it can be dangerous to self-medicate for sexual problems. Now back to the ad itself. We asked Dr. Bhosle what he thought about it. Dr. Bhosle says he's been seeing such ads for decades now, and the only thing that he says has changed over time are the brand names and the ingredients.
Today I'm a 64-year-old consultant. But ever since we were kids and used to go to school, I remember seeing ads of sex tonics. And initially we did not even know what sex tonic means because we were very young. So-called sex tonics and their advertisements are known to us, and not known only to us in India, it's known all over the world. Particularly China is booming. If you go to Taiwan, China, Thailand, even Hong Kong, there are lots of so-called sex tonics ads. And this is just another one. We are talking about it just because it was Ranveer Singh, who is kind of a brand ambassador as well as part of it. He's a mainstream hero. This has never happened earlier. Maybe they could see the potential that, you know, someone like him, who is a popular, you know, actor today, if he promotes something, even though it is just another concoction, nothing different in it, nothing better in it, just because it is Ranveer Singh, he has fan following and people tend to believe a person who is known and famous and, you know, popular for some reason. And they feel, yeah, he can't be lying or he must be telling the truth. No harm in trying. And let us say, even if there are few thousand or few lakh people try it even once and then find it useless, they have sold crores and crores worth rupees of a remedy.
Dr. Bhosle says he's been approached to promote such products in the past as well. But he says it's the lack of evidence that's kept him away from endorsing such products.
As a practicing doctor, there are often so-called herbal companies and Ayurvedic companies come to us saying that, sir, this works better. And what are the ingredients when I look into it, or what are they claiming? Whether are there any studies done? Are there any double blind studies done? These are all anecdotal, or rather they are just playing with the emotions of vulnerable population, where they are wondering, Kiwi, I'm unable to satisfy my partner. They don't even know who to consult, who are the qualified sexologists. And they may go to a local doctor who don't know anything. So even I have seen some general practitioners also prescribing products like this, which is sold to them by company representatives. They are just saying the same thing, which is so utterly exaggerated and is absolutely rubbish. So-called claim. I don't mind being quoted with my name, that this particular product, take the name also, and I don't mind. No one is going to ever raise any objection on my words because there is no study to back it.
The sexual wellness product market in India was estimated to be worth $1 billion in 2020 and is expected to double by 2030. This includes contraceptives, toys and supplements. But go on any shopping website and you're likely to be inundated with sexual health supplements targeting men's performance. Dr. Bhosle says that the makers of such unverified remedies target people who have both a lack of information and don't know where to seek help. As a result, he says, it's a patient with a genuine problem who suffers.
Here, though, there is not even a study claimed. It is just a product thrown into the market with advertisement. Yes, this will help for a sexual performance in a typical humorous manner, in a very dramatic manner, using that soap opera kind of a setting. एंड कॉमन मैन हु सफर साइलेंटली इनसाइड विथ हिज सेक्सुअल डिफिकल्टीज, एक बारी लेके देखते हैं व्हाट इज अ बिग डील, व्हाट एम आई गोइंग टू लूज, ओह इट कॉस्ट 500 rupees, इट्स ओके, वर्थ द अमाउंट, रादर देन फाइंडिंग अ स्पेशलिस्ट पे हिज ह्यूज फीस एंड दैट नॉट ऑल्सो वी आर नॉट श्योर अबाउट इट. See, India as a market, you know, the population and the number of people having sexual difficulties, but they are unable to speak about it, is crazily high. So they all go and try this once, and when they don't find it effective, they will give up. They are not going to continue to use it. They may not even talk anything about the product. They may just keep quiet about it. They may not even admit it to anyone that, you know, I tried it, because then it is admitting that you have a problem. So that's what they will do, and lots of people will buy it, lots of people, they will sell it well, and they will earn a lot. And if at all there is any backlash someday, they will close the shop. Meanwhile, they have made good amount of money.
Can you give us a sense, based on your practice, on what kind of people largely veer towards these kind of tonics?
There are two types of people. First of all, those who have a genuine sexual difficulty, which they should approach a sexologist, where the sexologist will do some investigations, take a proper history, try to find out the real cause of sexual problem that people have, and then they will treat the cause. These kinds of people can be treated because there is really a reason that they are suffering from some sexual dysfunction. This kind of preparation is not going to help them at all. What they really require is being seen by a sexologist who will take history, who will try to find out why is this person having this difficulty, whether the cause is psychogenic, whether the cause is organic, that means is within the body, whether it's cause related to hormones. And then they will find out the cause, diagnose the problem and treat the problem. But that's what if they go to a qualified sexologist. But if those who have a genuine problem, but they don't go to a qualified doctor, they want to quietly try something out, that's one category of people who will go. And second category of people are those who are otherwise okay, but they have a complex that maybe they are not good enough. There are many men who are perfectly normal and healthy. We only tell them you don't require any treatment. If you look exactly, get into the details, there's nothing wrong, but they just have an inferiority complex that probably they are comparing themselves with the porn stars. And they feel ki probably they are not good enough. So while they are fully normal and do not require any treatment, they just want to try it out. Kya jata hai? What is the big deal if I consume few pills with them? Anyway, they have written on top of it that they are harmless. And I don't have to tell anyone. No one has to know about it. I don't have to go and talk to any doctor. Those who are taking it just for the heck of it, they may have a placebo effect. Because Ranbir Singh is saying, because it is being advertised, oh, it must be good. Anyway, never had a problem. So it works as a placebo with them. And they may even say, yes, it helped me.
In terms of the consumption, right, we now know that there is also a problem with, say, the consumption of random products that have active ingredients. I mean, the whole problem with the nutraceutical industry is broadly that we don't know what the effects are, though they are harmless at first. What are the risks of long-term, say, consumption of such products?
The way these products, they have not done a study, proper study, whether it is really helping a problem. And if it is helping, what is the dose? How much of a particular ingredient needs to be consumed to have it effective? So there has to be a system to it. That is why all the medicines that allopathy marketed ultimately comes out. Are those who are well studied on human beings, there are animal studies, there are human being studies, and to decide the effective dose so that there are no side effects or there are no adverse effects, but just the effective, what is the dose of for it to be effective is well studied, and then only it comes into the market after getting all the approvals. Now, these products have mushroom extract. Now, how much of a mushroom extract? First of all, whether it is going to be helpful? If it is helpful, at what dose? How much of it should be there? And then can you fit it all together into a capsule or a tablet? There are many ingredients in herbal medicine, Ayurvedic medicine are actually good. But good only if you take them 1 kilo, not in one capsule. These medicines, like herbal medicines, they are not studied what should be the dose and what should be the frequency. They are just produced and sold. They can't be effective.
In your practice, Dr. Bhosle, have you come across somebody who had taken these herbal medicines and had, say, a bad reaction?
Any herbal medicine that you take, and if you don't know what is a toxic dose, because every medicine, allopathy also, there is a toxic element. If you take 10 tablets of crocin, probably it will severely affect you. But if you take one tablet, it is going to help you. So the toxic dose is not even studied and calculated. Moreover, a particular medicine we give is given for duration, 5 days, 7 days. Now, this particular medicine, you can just go on taking. So slowly and gradually, it is definitely going to affect, because all that we take, all medicines that we take, irrespective of the pathy, have to be processed within the body. And liver plays a very major role. A non-alcoholic cirrhosis is growing in the world. Earlier, we used to blame alcohol. So that's called an alcoholic cirrhosis. But now non-alcoholic cirrhosis is growing in the world. Why? Because people are consuming a lot of those substances which are affecting your liver.
But it's not just your liver that's affected. Dr. Bhosle says overconsumption of untested remedies can affect your kidney as well, and explains the most common symptom that he's seen among patients.
Kidney has to work hard to throw it out of the body. And you are consuming something which is, while being thrown out of the body, is damaging your kidney. You will not realize it today. You will realize it when you take it for a long time. This happens even with allopathic medicine. So we warn the patients, don't take this beyond 2 months, or we'll have to give a gap. But this kind of minute study is not done about these herbal products. So a lot of harmful effects I have seen are people, the commonest being bad skin allergies, because your body is reacting to it. So there is itch on the body, rash on the body. Eyes are itching very badly. People develop asthmatic attacks because of the allergy, that they're allergic to certain ingredients. And if you take this Ayurvedic or these herbal preparations, you know, there are several ingredients. Now, which out of them you're allergic to, no one can say. So we completely stop it. We need to, we always say, if you are consumed a medicine, whether allopathic or herbal, and you have developed any skin rash, skin allergy, immediately stop it. Stop it and let us see whether your side effects go away or your allergy goes away.
The question then also arises that why are such products allowed to sell under this sexual wellness category if there is a risk and there are no known benefits? Shouldn't it then mean that we shouldn't have it at all?
Actually, they shouldn't have it. But what happens, you know, it is only the allopathic drugs which come in the market with due precaution. As far as herbal are concerned, the law in our country is very different for them. And often you see, you know, if you see this, such a product, they will not call it as a medicine. While they may advertise it like that, but they will call it as a supplement. Now, anything can be supplement. Herbal supplement for sexual well-being. Now, when you call it as a supplement and not as a remedy, they will advertise as if it is a remedy. But the product to play safe, they will write it as a supplement. And under supplement, herbal supplement, it just goes. The relevant bodies of these pathies should be actually more aggressive about objecting, or, you know, making them follow certain patterns, rules, studies. But this just doesn't happen. What to say?
And when it comes to the allopathic medicine itself, while we know that we are supposed to take it supervised and with prescriptions, we also know there is a large amount of it being consumed, especially drugs like Viagra. They are handed over the counter. What are the risks that come with taking such medication without supervision?
There is risk. Viagra contains sildenafil, which is a PDE5 inhibitor. And there are, Viagra is not just the only, sildenafil is not the only PDE5 inhibitor. There are other PDE5 inhibitors. They are effective. They are good. Taken in a particular dose, particular frequency, particular manner, particular time. And it will help you. But if you sporadically take it anytime, 2 tablets, 3 tablets, whatever you feel like, because they are just there. And you feel, I take more, it will help me more. And people buying it across the counter, they're not supposed to be sold just like that. But chemists are selling it, what to say. And then those who buy it may not have enough knowledge about what should be the correct dose. they may be taking a wrong dose. And we ourselves say, even the tablet says it clearly, if it is taken more than the dose, recommended dose, it will create problem. And even taken with the correct dose also, it can create a problem. For example, someone takes PDE5 inhibitor along with nitrites, he can even die. It can be fatal. And we as qualified doctors always ask this, are you on nitrites before prescribing? Or have you had any, because they may not know what nitrites, I don't know whether my medicine that I'm taking contain nitrite. So always my practice is that not only you should tell me the names, you bring those tablets which you are currently taking. When I see those tablets myself, I see the ingredients and then I know what is he taking, and then I may prescribe something like PDE5 inhibitor. But if irresponsibly a patient goes to a general practitioner, a family physician, and he tells him about the sexual difficulty, kuch nahi, Viagra le lo, and he writes down without being careful, it could be fatal.
If a patient does come to you with something like this, with performance-related issues, what is the starting point for the treatment, really?
See, invariably, I first take the detailed history. What is causing this? When did it start? What's the origin, duration, progress, we say?
With couples who have recently begun to attempt sexual activity, Dr. Bhosle says the first step is just counseling or talking to them. Often, he says, that's enough.
So there are two fearful people. The best way of treating them is to counsel them. Tell them, expect failure. Don't even call this a failure. Because in the beginning, it's new. With the time, it happens. So counseling is the first thing. But of course, detailed history taking is important, because we can't always imagine that this is all psychological. This is all because of the newness. So a lot of counseling goes. On the contrary, if I get 10 cases, hardly 2 or 3 of them require a prescription or a medicine. Rest stick 6 to 7 with spending good amount of time, explaining to them with evidence, with good explanation, with good counseling helps most of them. That is why, as a sexologist, we need to give a lot of time to patients.
But the problem is not always just in the mind. Dr. Bhosle says that sometimes the problem is something that requires treatment in the form of medication or possibly an adjustment in existing medication.
I'll give you a simple example. Majority of blood pressure medicines, which are good blood pressure medicines given by a good doctor correctly, I'm talking about, more than 80% of them create sexual difficulties with the man as a side effect. But prescribing doctor doesn't know it. Person, the moment he develops diabetes, at least 50% of them are going to develop erectile dysfunction. So I need to find out what is your cause of erectile dysfunction. If you are developing diabetes, I need to treat your diabetes. If you are given a blood pressure medication which is causing this, I need to change your medication. So like that, taking a history, diagnosing the problem, why this person has erectile dysfunction, and treating is the correct way. And the way I divided, psychogenic and organic, there could be a mix of two. It began with psychogenic and now it is organic, or it started with some organic element and the guy got so badly disturbed with it, now the organic problem is sorted, but he is unable to get over the trauma.
And finally, Dr. Bhosle, do you feel like it's like a sort of bogeyman, this whole problem of sexual performance? I'm trying to get at, is it more of a hype now than, you spoke of it, even seeing it as a child going to school, these same ads were there. But do you feel like that hype over sexual performance is perhaps more now in this age than earlier?
Yeah, and there is a reason to it. The porn was not so easily available earlier. These are all stupid, depictions. And you are comparing with something which is not even real. But there is no one to tell you that this is not real. They think this is all real. So they develop complex. Oh, maybe I'm not good enough. My penis is small. I will not be able to last that long. So overexposure to porn has created this problem of predominantly what we call is an inferiority complex, or they are very self-conscious about their, sexual apparatus and their performance and all that. So naturally, they are more disturbed about it. So in my lectures, I always say, I will not be able to tell you, moralize that you don't watch porn. But I tell you, it's not real. And in that case, I gave 1 or 2 examples. So when you see a movie, a fight scene, let us say hero punches a guy and he flies into the sky. Does it happen really? No. In real life, he can't fight with 10 people. He can't even fight with 1. and he fights with 20 people. And we enjoy it, but we also know that this cannot happen in reality. Something that you watch, that is prepared for entertainment, is not real. And when you are seeing a porn star so-called performing, there is an entire team working on it. There are cameramen, there are lenses, there are editors. And this is all artificial. It's like that.
Today's episode was produced by Jairaj Singh and Sahil Gupta. For a daily spotlight on people, ideas and stories that matter, subscribe to us. We're available on TOI Plus, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts and all other platforms of your choice. For any news tips, email us at toipodcast@timesinternet.in.